saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Yes, we welcome you back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live, powered by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri, and the boxing world is red hot. We went 2 weeks without basically any fights. Now we have mega cards announced in Saudi Arabia. We have Tank Davis telling me that he needs therapy. We have double headers on ESPN, title fights. We have fights in Puerto Rico that meaningful fights, Chris. It's just unbelievable how quick it can turn. We have a lot to get to today. I don't even know if I can ask you how you're doing, but I will, because I always want to know
how you're
doing.
Who cares what I'm doing? Boxing is doing well, and boxing is like a championship fighter, man. It gets knocked down, but it can't keep him down. Boxing's back, and we got a bunch to talk about.
I mean, there is a lot to get to. I don't even know where to start.
We got to start a Tank. Come on, man. I want to hear about Tank. Everyone's here about Tank. Come on.
3 million views on one social media clip, a 5-minute interview with Tank Davis on Tuesday at the Barclays Center, a press conference which he was 4 hours late for, which was wild.
He showed would it up, be a Tank press conference if he was on time? What are we talking
right,
about here?
Exactly. Amazon interviewed me for their Gloves Off, and they were asking, is this part of the Tank experience? And I was like, yes, it is. It's part of everything. And do you think it's Lamont Roach? It's getting into his head. As I look over someone's shoulder, and I see Lamont Roach just pacing back and forth. I said, yeah, probably. It probably is some mind games to it, but it's more along the lines of Tank just going to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, being Tank.
And he didn't even know. He said to me that he didn't even know that the press conference was today, or like, he's like, all of a sudden, I'm at a press conference. Like, it's nuts, man. And the guy knows how to make headlines. And the biggest headline came from him saying that he wants to retire at the end of the 2025, which, you know, fighters have flirted with that. We've never heard that from Tank Davis. We've heard it from fighters all the time. Like, I mean, this is nothing new about a fighter saying that I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to retire. First time we're hearing it from Tank Davis. He goes even further to tell me in a one-on-one interview that he wants therapy, but he's afraid that he'll lose the fire inside of him, which was one of the most, like, the deepest thought. And it makes just so much sense. Like, it's just like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, you have a lot of trauma. Most of you fighters do. You step into the ring to kind of battle those demons. And for Tank, I feel like he used all that childhood trauma to his benefit. And now he has 3 kids. Now he's 30. Now he has a lot of trouble in his past. And he's afraid if he sits down with a professional, he won't feel the need to decapitate someone inside of the ring. I think it could go either way, but it was a wild experience at Barclays Center. Tank deciding to tell me those things, which I really, really appreciate.
Well, I thoroughly understand that. And that's why I was so adamant against when, remember Wilder came out and said he did ayahuasca? And I was like, well, that's not a good thing to get spiritually connected to yourself and to the earth and to everything around you and understand that there's life amongst everything. Meanwhile, you're a two-fisted killer. That's your job. You don't want to have empathy when you're a fighter. And that's something I talk about that with Paulie a lot. Like, certain fighters have kids and it becomes a goal for them to make more money. The kids are actually a good thing for them, a positive thing for their career. Some guys, though, they get soft immediately. Because listen, man, that empathy comes. You start having some nice thoughts for another living being, where as a fighter, literally you're trying to destroy men and take food out of their kids' mouths. So I get where he's coming from. Really, really, I really understand where he's coming from. And I think a lot of people are not really going to understand that. And it's going viral for a different reason, you know, because it is really true and fighters go through that. But most people are like, wow, that's crazy. You know, like, he wants to go to therapy, a guy admitting he's going to therapy. Well, listen, we all probably need some therapy, especially fighters. But for him to acknowledge that and understand where that puts him in the place of his career, that's a deep point, man. That's a deep cut.
I will say this. I was a little, like, when he said that to me, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to post that, obviously. But I wonder how the boxing community is going to react to this.
I don't think Tank cares.
No, I don't know about Tank. I'm talking about, like, I was wondering how the boxing community would take to that type of statement? Him talking about therapy, him being so open, him saying, I want to be softer, I want to be kinder for my kids. Because as we know about the boxing community, they're not the most accepting group of humans out there. I experienced it when Ryan Garcia decided to step away from boxing in 2021 when he cited mental health, and they were just all over him. And we know if you're a boxing fan, like, you know that some of the fan base can be a little toxic. So I was shocked to see the complete opposite of that. I saw overwhelmingly positive responses to this clip, and there are a lot of responses when you get into a 3 million range of views. There are a lot of opinions, there are a lot of comments, and the comments are overwhelmingly like, you know what, Tank, I love you as a fighter, it would suck if you stepped away, but this is some deep stuff. Like, I'm also in therapy, you know, I can relate to Tank, and it's a guy that's went through a lot in his life, and now he's trying to better himself for his kids' sake. All that stuff was great from a fighter standpoint, and from the boxing standpoint, I was kind of like taken back, like to hear him talk about retiring. Like, I did not think he was going to come into this press conference and say, after 2025, I'm done. Because when I talked to him in June before the Frank fight, he looked like a different person. He looked completely changed. He looked like he had a really different attitude towards his career. He was about to turn 30 and he was going to take on big fights. Like, he wanted to fight Lomachenko. And it just seemed like he was going to use like the next 5 years in his 30s. As like the Mayweather thing, where Mayweather started getting into really big fights and giving us the fights that we wanted to see, big pay-per-view fights. Things can change, though. Like,
that's what Dan, I was just going to cut you off because you mentioned Mayweather. Let's be honest, dude. Come on. How many times did Mayweather retire, even at a young age, undefeated? How many times did Bernard Hopkins retire? This is I don't know. I don't know how much
I
would take.
You know what I mean?
This.
Like, him turning 30. You always said the plan for Tank, what we thought the plan was do what he's been doing in his 20s. And then,
right, and then now it's time to step up.
Right. That's what I thought.
Well, he needs to really step on the gas if he's going to retire at the end of 2025, especially because the guy fights once, sometimes twice a year, usually once. So what are we talking here? Is this his last fight ever? Okay, I mean, with the way he's been going, this is his last fight. Well, if he's retiring at the end of 2025, or he's got one more fight.
End of 2025, and you're starting in March, that's two fights. I've heard that he wants to fight three times. He did tell me another interesting clip when I was like, who do you want next year? Besides Lamont Roach, like, what's the other opponents? And he whispers in my ear, I'm going to call someone out after the fight. And I didn't register right away that he's never called anyone out in his career.
Yeah,
so that's something to look forward to after the March 1st, should he be victorious in this. I don't know. Could be Ryan Garcia. Could it be Lomachenko? Could it be Shakur? He was very dismissive of Shakur.
Could be Tio.
Teofimo. He was very dismissive of Shakur in the scrum, which I did not agree with. What has he done? What has he accomplished? He's the number two lightweight behind you. He has a title. But he also said, I don't care about belts, Tank. Like, so he said he wants to slap Teofimo, and he was very respectful of Lomachenko. So I don't know what to make of all that. I will say that
he's a bit of a history guy, though. He's got a lot of respect for fighters of the past. Like, loves Mike. Loma's like a modern-day historic figure at this point.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to respect Loma.
I will say this from a personal standpoint. It is pretty cool when a fighter decides that they feel comfortable enough to tell you those things, or they feel comfortable enough to just open up and just have fun with the interview. That's an awesome feeling, and I'm really glad that he was able to say those things, and I'm glad that they resonated with a lot of fans. But
Dan, you guys also shared ice cream at CVS at 2 o'clock in the morning, so you guys are on a different level.
Well, here's a little tip for anyone out there that's trying to get into the interview game and trying to any young aspiring broadcaster, always start off with like a fun story before you even start the interview. So with Tank, I was like, bro, you won me a lot of money.
He smiled immediately.
Immediately. So then the rest of the interview is cake because we have something to laugh about. It's off to a good start.
But Dan, but you know the problem with a lot of boxing media is there are a bunch of weirdos and they don't know how to have a social conversation like human beings. So they just throw a phone or a mic in your face and ask you the most like dreadful question you could ever get, or they ask you the same question everybody asks you. Just flipping it onto the other side. What I'm used to dealing with when it comes to media, you make it fun.
Yeah,
got a good. How you feel, champ?
How's training camp been? And good prediction.
How is that court case going with your promoter? Like that. Good. That's good. Open. Thanks. Yeah, nice.
Let me get deep into the weeds of my litigation with my promoter.
Right, like with you, who I don't even freaking know.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. So that was cool. So a lot of headlines came out of that Tank stuff. We'll see. March 1st, he fights Lamont Roach. Lamont looked big, man. Like, here's one thing I'll say.
Yeah, he did look big.
He did, right? Here's one thing I'll say.
He looked healthy.
It's not the fight that everyone's clamoring for Gervonta Davis. But I do think it's going to be a test. Like, Gervonta said it up on the stage. This guy has more skills than Frank Martin. Without a doubt, has more skills than Frank Martin. He's not as big, like muscle bound.
Not as physical.
Not as physical. But Lamont looked big up there. I know he's not making the weight just yet. This is a guy that has fought at 135 before. He can box. Doesn't have much power. I do think that Tank is going to be, especially if he's on 100% focused, Tank, which is something that's
talking about retirement. If you're talking about retirement.
Roach was adamant that the fight's not happening next week because Tank's not ready because something going on in his life, which if you saw Tank up there on the stage, you can make a case for that. But I see this being a fun fight. I see Lamont Roach being tricky early. And same thing as usual, Davis having to go for a knockout late because he could potentially be even or down on the cards late because of just inactivity.
Yeah, I don't know if I would exactly label Roach as a banana peel situation, but he's very capable. And we said that as soon as the fight was announced. Like, yeah, people are not going to love this fight, but you and I were like, honestly, this is probably still a pretty good fight. It's probably, compared for what's out there, this can actually be entertaining. And Lamont is going to pose some problems. He's got some pitfalls that Tank is going to have to maneuver. But I'm just not sold as to Lamont Roach being the banana peel that completely upends Tank's run right now. No. But I think the lead up is going to be fun. Obviously, there's some animosity. Roach is playing a nice role in this, I think. I think he's gotten better with media himself.
Yeah.
I interviewed him for his last fight, where he looked spectacular. And he's been a lot more comfortable in the public eye, which is something I think troubled him in the past. So, listen, the lead-up to this fight could be entertaining. And the fight itself could be entertaining. But in terms of Roach's chances of getting the upset, I'm not sold on it yet.
It'll probably be a minus 800 Tank favorite.
Yeah.
Minus 750, I would say. Yeah, that was what went on at the Barclays Center. It was a wild scene between Tank coming in super late, him telling me these wild stuff. It was
I love I didn't even know the press conference was today. Didn't even know it was today. Next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in a press conference. All right, here we go.
I don't want to assume anything, but I'm pretty sure they were like, hey, wake up. You got to go to a press conference. Gets on a private jet, flies to Brooklyn. And next thing you know, he's on stage saying, I want to retire, telling me he needs therapy, gets back on a plane.
Goes back to bed.
They're doing another one as we record this. They're doing another presser, and we'll see what he says. But that's the thing with Tank, man. He knows how to stir the pot, even when he's not 100% like into it. Even when he's
what it is, he's genuine. He's super genuine. He's not putting on any airs about it. He's like, listen, I am what I am. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to fight. I'm going to try and knock you out. And usually I do. So like, it really doesn't matter what I say leading up to it. So why not have fun with it? I like this era of Tank in terms, especially media wise. Cause we've been to a couple, his last couple fights, he's been a ton of fun at these pressers.
Yeah. And you're so right about that, where a lot of these guys put on acts and put on, like, a lot of people don't like Devin Haney because they feel like he's acting like Tank, or he's trying to be like Tank. Tank is authentic. Either you love him or you hate him. And there's a lot of haters out there that tune in to call him a 30-year-old prospect and, you want to retire? Go ahead. Boxing will be better off without you. I don't agree.
I don't agree. He's one of our stars.
I hope he does not retire. We'll see. I don't want to be selfish, but I hope he gets the help he needs. And one last thing on this is, I don't want to get too deep into like what therapy can do for you, but like, if he can channel his anger in a different way, or control his anger, or not let outside forces or outside factors dictate his temperament. And I think that's what you can learn in therapy, is how to control that. Maybe he can use it to his advantage. That's what I wanted to say to him in that clip, but I was just letting him go. It's like, maybe, you know, you're in your 30s now. Maybe the power might go a little bit. Maybe you have to win fights differently. Maybe you can find a way to figure it all out, but that's up to him. I don't know what's going to happen post 2025 with Tank.
Maybe he needs to fight more. Maybe his therapy needs to be in the ring, because the guy's always in shape. He stays in the gym. There's no knock on him. You know, that's why I took the Roach thing, being like, oh, he's not ready. It's not because he's not in shape. The guy's always in shape. He trains. He stays in the gym. That's something. His dedication is next level, which, to be as good as he is, you have to be, especially, you know, now that he's in his 30s. But maybe just keep him more active, because, listen, when he was not active, he was having trouble with the law. And then also just obviously having some mental stuff. Because listen, being a fighter in between camps, dude, the only thing you got is your mind. And it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. The mind of getting into trouble. You know, some guys are drinkers, some guys are partiers, some guys are like to do criminal acts, some guys have, you know, toxic relationships. Listen, that's just who we are. Just doing hood rat shit with my friends. But you know, that's part of being a fighter. So maybe just being active would be helpful to him, and maybe we might get more than just the end of 2025. But like you said, whatever he wants to do, he's a grown man. Obviously, you want the best for him in terms of that. But being as a boxing fan who is going to be selfish, I want more Tank Davis, and I want him fighting top guys for the next couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into a bombshell of a fight announcement. The last crescendo. Not even a 5-on-5.
I like this card, man.
This is a 7-on-7 mega card. Dare we say the best boxing card ever put forth? I know there are some back.
I'll say it.
Best
card ever put together on paper. Let's see if it happens. Let's see how it prevents. But on paper, best card ever.
You can say that. The beauty of boxing is a very rich in history, this sport. 100+ years. So when you say ever, it means something.
Ever.
You say ever in the UFC, it means 25 years of history. That's what my biggest knock with UFC is. Like, John Jones is the greatest ever. This is the best fight ever. It's, guys have 20 years of history. So I understand when I get some pushback.
The sport's younger than you, Dan. And you're old man Dan.
I'm old man Dan. I'm pushing 40. No, not yet.
guys, I'm over 40, by the way.
Chris, you're a 40-year-old man.
I'm a 40-year-old man. Crazy.
I'm 37 and I'm 5'8½". Okay, because there were some people out there saying Dan's shorter than Tank. A lot of comments for those Tank clips. Angles, bro. I stood in front of him. I look short in those.
You're out angled.
Out angled. I was wearing Dunks too. Dunks have zero. Dunks don't have like the air in it, like the Air Nike, like the Air Maxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'8½". Okay, guys.
Dan, check your DMs. I bet you're gonna have one of those Lyft companies, the Lyft brands that goes in the back of the heel, DMing you'd be like, "Hey, we can sponsor the show. We can get you to 5'9", baby."
We talk about DMs a lot, right? Like I got a DM the other day from some dude who goes, "Dan, you're not 5'9". That was the DM.
Who said I was?
Yeah, some random guy goes, "Dan, you're not 5'9". I was like, "That's Jesus. Awesome. Crazy.
That's like, brutal.
Where are these coming from?" I was like, "Bro, I'll knock you out." Yeah.
It was funny because people think I'm like 6'2". I meet people and they're like, "Oh, wow, you're not that tall." I'm like,
"What are you, 5'11?
Yeah, 5'11, which for my weight class, I'm a giant, but for normal people, I'm kind of pretty regular, pretty standard.
Yeah, for 140, you're a giant. Talk about giants as a segue. Back to this 7-on-7 last crescendo announced by Turki Alsheikh and Eddie Hearn, February 22nd. You know it by now. You've had a couple days to kind of react to it and debate if it's the best card ever. The Don King put on better cards. Arguable. It's in the discussion, I think. The thing that separates this card from the Don King cards of the past, I'm not saying this one's going to be better because you have to see the fights play out. 7 fights. The Don King ones are usually 5 deep. And these are like 5 of the 7, I think, are 50-50 fights.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing.
A lot of times with the Don King ones, you kind of knew who was going to win those fights. We'll see how it plays out. Like what you said, it's the greatest card put together on paper. Will one of these fights fall out? We've seen that before. Will one of these couple of these fights be duds? Seen that
will
before too.
Some of these fights fall out? 1,000, yes. Yes, absolutely. Some of these fights will fall out.
I want to talk about one fight in particular on this card that really came out of nowhere and was the most shocking of it. It's Virgil Ortiz versus Israel Madrimov. Yeah. And you're probably wondering, wait, Madrimov. I'm going to get it right. Lampley was pretty pissed when I kept saying it wrong.
It's Madrimov. Okay.
Yes.
We're going to say that wrong. By the end of this podcast, we will be saying that wrong.
Madrimov. So Virgil Ortiz versus Israel Madrimov is put on this card, on this poster, and you're like, "Oh, this obviously means that Madrimov-Boachuk is off for December 21st, which is 2 weeks away, the Fury-Usyk undercard." But then we learn that Madrimov is fighting Boachuk in December, and Madrimov is assuming he's going to win. I guess these handlers are assuming he's going to win. He's going to be healthy. No
cuts,
how that
goes.
Nothing. And in there with Virgil Ortiz, and Chris, this is the biggest knock on Riyadh season, and you've said this numerous times. It's like counting your
putting
eggs.
Putting the cart before the horse, or counting your chickens before they hatch. Counting your eggs, your chickens before they hatch. Yeah,
both of those for this one.
Both of them.
What's going on here? I think Virgil is just going to be looking for a new opponent on December 22nd. Not because I don't think Madrimov can beat Bohacek. I just think those guys are going to beat the hell out of each other, and they're not going to be ready.
Listen, Bohacek is a killer puncher, and he's super tough, and he's shown that in the Virgil Ortiz fight. So I don't know how you just overlook him for Madrimov to just go out there and, you know, wipe the floor. But also, Dan, regardless, even if it's like a pretty easy fight and it goes a couple rounds, probably goes the route, whatever, it's 2 months away.
Yeah.
Championship level fighters don't fight every 2 months. This isn't 1928. You can't do that. Guys, you got to rest after these fights. Your body needs rest. Your mind needs rest. You have other obligations you need to take care of. Like, I don't know, man. The chances of this coming off, I'm not a betting man. I know you are. That ain't happening.
Well, this is why it's strange, because like Virgil Ortiz they were shopping around all these names. Madrimov, obviously, is the guy that they settled on. Xander Zayas got himself into the discussion, and
did you see his post being like, oh, did they overlook me? Like, what? I signed the contract, I sent it in.
It was the nicest exchange between two of the nicest guys in boxing, Virgil Ortiz and Xander Zayas. Like, what the heck, man? I thought I was in this. And Virgil's like, well, I'm sorry, I didn't duck you to fight Madrimov. Are you crazy? And then Virgil's dad jumps in and goes, listen, your name was on the list, but you were the least qualified of the potential opponents. Like Fundoro was mentioned. Obviously, he's more than qualified. He's a unified champion.
Unified champ, exactly.
Boots out of the picture. Madrimov, they land on him. Bohacek's fighting Madrimov. Xander Zayas, like, yeah, that's a banger of a fight, but let's be honest, like, you're working your way up, so you're not ready for that. And then Zayas just replies, fair enough. Like, good luck. And we will fight in the
patio.
Best regards. And that was the end of it. So this is the one on the fight on here that just, it's just shocking and just doesn't make a lot of sense. I hope that Virgil, this comes off, and because that'd be an awesome fight, Madrimov versus Virgil Ortiz. And not that I want boxing to be like the UFC, but for like a 24-hour span, or from when we found out that Boots wasn't going to fight Virgil till we see this Madrimov on the fight poster, kind of felt like UFC, which I'm a little jealous of sometimes. When a fight falls out, they don't like fill in.
They still make a banger.
Heard of, yeah. Right? They find a banger. They find like it's endless possibilities. And now with Riyadh and this fake money and this just like unbelievable fantasy world we're living in, that's now reality, is you're looking at Fundora. You're looking at Zayas. You're looking at these names, and it's realistic. And they settle on Madrimov, whether we think it's going to happen or not. That's awesome. And it's
Dan, how about this? What if we hear in the next day or two that the Bohacek Madrimov fight is off?
Would that shock you?
There might be. So guys, a lot of things happen. Things are usually long in motion long before we ever hear about them. So maybe Bohacek is on the injured list, and that fight has not been officially canceled yet, or even, you know, unofficially canceled yet. So that's a possibility too. But
love that fight. Another fight on this card that came out of literally nowhere. Joshua Buatsi versus Callum Smith.
Cool fight. Cool fight. Very cool fight. Like that fight. I like Buatsi. I want him to get a shot. Callum Smith is a name, especially over there. Unfortunately, he's the most often remembered for laying a whole goose egg against Canelo and Beterbiev. But Buatsi, I think, is a perfect timing for him, because I believe he is one of the top guys in that weight class, and he needs names. He needs guys that are willing to step up and fight him. And this puts him into the picture. You know, this is like, all right, if he gets past a Callum Smith, he gets past a very dangerous name guy, and you're right in the mix then.
Yes. It did about 5 years too late. 5 years ago, this is a banger. This is like one versus two.
Callum Smith's a little, I mean, he's a little bit on the way out.
Right. He got a little exposed in the Bivol fight, and then Canelo just punched his bicep into it. Fell off the bone.
Into Smith, that fight broke my heart, because I was like, Callum Smith is really good. He was on a tear too, and he was looking really good. And then he just put up nothing.
Broke your heart, blew my mind. That was peak Canelo.
That was peak Canelo.
That was 2020, 2021. Canelo was just taking dudes out left and right. That fight came out of nowhere. Shakur Stevenson versus Floyd Schofield. We talked about this at length in the last episode.
Cool.
This is happening. This is in ink. Like, what? Cool.
Let's go. I like it. Why not?
I hope this sets forth, Chris, a trend of young fighters taking risks and potentially losing, learning, getting back in there, getting some notoriety. Talk about Floyd Schofield. He's going to be a massive underdog in his fight, but he's got pop. He's got power. He's young, dumb, and hungry. Not poor. He's definitely going to be rich after this. Shakur, this is the one fight where we talked about five of the seven or 50-50s. This one is like 70-30, 65-35. Would you agree with that?
Maybe, yeah. It's just, this is
80-20?
Yeah, it could be. I don't see how Schoenfield. I mean, unless the hand is a big issue. And even then, I don't know.
Shakur, do you think it's just going to be Shakur Olang? Like, whoa, like toying with him?
By a certain point, late in the fight, so, it might be interesting early on, the youthful exuberance and the unwitting young guy in the beginning coming at him, just like throwing everything at him. And he's a Schofield, strong and physical, so he can use his physicality to a degree. But once Shakur turns this into a fencing match, he's the best fencer in the world. He's going to get in that side stance. He's going to be firing that southpaw jab, tie you up, hopping away with both hands out. And, you know, doing like, it's just, I don't.
What if he stops him?
What if Shakur stops him?
Yes.
It's possible. He could do it late. You know, you never know how a guy takes body shots, and Shakur is a pretty good body puncher. So,
yeah, I don't want to get into that debate. Does Shakur need a stoppage? We'll do that on the week of the fight. Like, I don't want to get – we're not getting too deep into this card. I just want to react to some of the fights that were surprising on it and then talk about the fight as a whole. Like, obviously, Beterbiev and Bivol is the main event, which I love. That's the main event. That's the should be the
– That is the main event, because the other day you were like, it's not the main event. I'm like, how are you not going to have that the main event?
I heard, that was like the – they were going to put Dubois Parker above it, which is a banger in itself. I can't believe this.
I actually don't think that's a banger. I just think it's a really important fight. Because Parker and Dubois. Parker tends to not be in bangers. He fights tough guys. He's super durable.
It would be a good fight.
It's a good fight. And I think the more of – a tactical fight it is, the more it favors Parker, and the more of a firefight or shootout it is Daniel Dubois, of course.
So that one, I would edge Dubois, right?
I would too, but I would not be surprised. I want to see that line, because I would throw money on Parker if it's a decent.
That one's
decent
pretty
line.
Close. Beterbiev Bivol's 50-50. Shakur Schofield is 70-30. We'll settle on that. Adames Shiraz, what would you say that is? Like, you're favoring Adames, right?
That's 50-50. No, I'm 50-50 on that one. I like Madrimov. Both guys a lot.
Yeah. Virgil Madrimov, on paper, 50-50. We don't know how damaged Madrimov will be. We don't know if he'll just use it just to get right back
in the
gym.
I think we should bet that one if it's going to happen or not.
I wish you had those odds. I don't think DraftKings has those odds.
Can we go 70-30 doesn't happen?
But imagine that, like betting on fights that you don't think are going to happen. You'd be the richest man alive in boxing.
Yeah.
I bet that Tank will never fight Shakur.
Yep. Rich. Rich.
And then the first fight of the night, which they must have listened to us, banger.
Love it.
Zhilhai Zhang versus Ajit Kabayel.
Love it. Good fight. Fun fight.
Yeah.
I think it's an important fight too, career wise, for Zhilhai Zhang. Obviously, this poor guy is the perennial contender, never gets his shot. And Ajit, who has looked great in his last two fights, but with asterisks, as we talked about last show, this is a huge step and a big name guy. And listen, if you have to get by Zhilhai Zhang to get a title fight.
Yeah,
poor guy never gets a title shot, but you got to get past him to get one. If Ajit can get past him, then he could be in the mix for one of the big fights, and that's a big name for him. And if Zhilhai Zhang wins, how do you not give him a title shot at this point?
I don't know. I mean, what's the title?
I bet you they won't. Like? I bet you they won't. He's too dangerous. They're just aging him out.
Well, he's getting money, though. I'm happy about that. He's getting money. He's revived his career. Yeah, a title shot would be great. Like, you know, Chinese heavyweight champion. That's crazy.
Such a great guy, too. Great guy. Zhang.
You know, came to the John Boy offices. Love his handler, Terry Lane. And the Lane brothers. So that's an awesome fight to kick it off. Great card. Is there any criticisms of this card? Because there are some boxing fans out there that are, just can't be happy. You know, they got to be like seven times. This is going to be two, seven. This is going to be a 7 hour show. Like,
no, it's going to be an 8 hour. It's going to be an 8 hour show.
If there's a concert, like, listen, Turkey, if you're listening, it's 20. Another thing too, it's $25 pay-per-view, which is absurd. This is $100. You can charge $150 for this.
Yeah.
Turkey, if you're listening, no concert.
No, nope.
We don't need a concert.
No extracurriculars.
No Missy Elliott. No.
Do the car giveaways via raffle that we don't see on TV.
Give away the car on Twitter if you're gonna give away the car.
Yeah, that's good. That's better.
Just give us.
I'm going old school. I'm talking raffles. Jeez, I'm your old man, Dan. I must be ancient.
50-50, which the Yankees are doing now. 50-50s are back, bro.
50-50 raffles are back.
They're doing it at Yankee Stadium.
Is it digital or do you actually get a ticket?
No, it's digital.
Damn.
The tickets.
I want a ticket, dude. I want a ticket.
You have a big stack of them, and then
I want a little ticket.
You rip them up after you lose.
I was getting my haircut today, and my barber's like 23, and guy comes up. Anybody forget their vape? Like, everybody looked around. I was like, just put my head down. I was like, Jesus, I am an old man.
I saw someone plug their vape into their computer. That's how you charge those things.
I didn't know they needed charging. That's.
And you put
remember cigarettes? Cigarettes don't need a charge. You light them. They need a match.
Kids out there, don't vape. Because you just don't vape.
It's not good for
don't
you. Vape.
There's other things to damage yourself with. You have any criticisms of this card? Like,
I do not. The length does not bother me. I like these long shows, especially and actually, if they're out there, if they're on the West Coast or they're over here, better start that show way earlier. But the fact that we're going to be watching good fights from noon until 8 p.m., I'm okay with that.
And it's also the best time of the year, in my opinion, to stage a fight. Late February, no NFL, no baseball.
Mm-hmm.
NBA is in the middle of their season. It's not like must-watch games. A few years back, Jake Paul fought Tommy Fury on Sunday afternoon.
Right,
late February, and it did massive numbers because there's nothing on in the sports world. Whereas Fury Usyk, which is going off on December 21st, is going to have issues because they're going up against the college football playoff, which is the new format that they have with like six do or die games on December 21st. I don't think they care, but I think this could potentially be in front of more eyeballs. Do I wish that the seven fights, you know, three of them got spread out on a different card or they got moved? Like, these are all main events. Like, you can make seven events out of these, but it's a different world we're living in. You can't, wish for mega cards, get them, and then complain. Turkey did say some things. He hopped on with our friend Ariel Helwani and said he still wants to stage Crawford versus Canelo. He's looking to do it after May because he revealed that Crawford has a small injury and Crawford will not be fighting till after May. So it looks like we won't get Canelo Crawford in May, according to Turkey.
So it has to be September. Bummer.
September, maybe. I don't know who Canelo's going to fight in May. I don't want to discuss that right now. Turkey wants to put another big card on outside of Saudi in March. Could it be at Wembley? Will it be in the States after his scathing review of how filthy Los Angeles is and how the movie theater stunk and the tipping culture blows? I don't know if we're coming back to California.
Yeah, I would throw my hat in the ring for Wembley. And
Wembley?
Yeah.
I would see that.
Pushing for, I'm sure he's going to be pushing for Fury Joshua.
That's quick though. If Fury fights
this is what happens. All these fights are quick. There's no understanding of the time between fights
when there's that much money on the line.
Right.
So Fury win or lose fights in December, which he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to turn around.
I think Fury. I think win or lose, Fury fights Joshua.
I do. I agree. I just don't think it will be in March.
Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, if you're going to do a Wembley card, who else are you putting on the top of that?
My brain is wired of an old boxing fan to just say no, I can't happen, but it can because there's a ton of money.
It can. It's tougher for heavyweights though. They tend to take more time.
Especially Fury. Like, has he ever been on a schedule like this? Like. Boom, 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 one fight after. He takes a year off in between fights.
Yeah. Yep.
Turkey said he's planning to stage a big Riyadh card outside of Saudi Arabia. Just said that. And then he wants to do a 5-on-5 Queensberry matchroom rematch or a UK versus USA 6-for-6, which would pit Queensberry and Matchroom on the same team versus Top Rank and Golden Boy.
That's cool.
That's cool. My brain just exploded trying to comprehend
yeah,
that.
Yeah, too many names. So many fighters' names just popped into my head. Like, yeah.
Like Queensberry and Matchroom together.
Dan, you just popped out a gray hair thinking about that. Like I saw it
one
right
gray
there.
Hair that I cut out every week.
I got a lot.
Yeah, but it fits. Sometimes it fits. Like I only have one. But when they all start coming in, I'm not gonna start putting like Just for Men gel in my hair.
Dude, once they start, it's downhill. Like what? You said you're 37 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I have a lot in my beard.
I started a little later than that, but yeah, I got this. That's why I cut my hair so short on the sides. This is all gray.
I'm going to embrace the salt and pepper lifestyle.
Well, at least we still have hair on our heads.
That's true. Like our friend.
I can't wait for 20 years from now. We're still doing this show. our hairlines have just been pushed back. We're totally gray. We're going to look like we're 80 because we're boxing people.
I'll go to Turkey, get the hair transplant.
Oh, we should make an episode. We both go to Turkey and then come home like bald with the bleeding bandages.
So these guys at Barstool, there's like 7 guys right now in Turkey. They're calling it bald stool. They're in their 30s. They're either completely bald. A couple guys got receding hairlines and they've been documenting they're in Turkey right now. They're all getting the transplant.
And oh, they beat us to it. Damn it.
It's the best content because I'm very curious about how it goes down. Like
I know a couple of people have done it, and it seems like pretty legit, super legit.
They fly you out there. I think for $3,000, they fly you out there. They put you up in a really nice hotel. Like you hang out. It's like a vacation, and then you get the procedure. Like I'm pretty sure you don't even go under the gas and come back with hair.
No, that can't be $3,000 all in. $3,000 for the flight?
No, $3,000 for the whole trip, the whole everything.
What?
Jeez. I could be wrong on that price, but it's around there. It's not expensive. It's not crazy. Maybe five. Like
five is worth it.
Five is definitely worth it for a trip to Turkey, where they're gonna like. I know Turkey's not the best place to go, but I'm sure there's some.
Turkey's pretty badass. Turkey's pretty badass.
Keep good food. Your eyes peeled on hair transplants. Let's get into our fight previews. There are some awesome fights this weekend. I think this weekend is going to be an awesome weekend of fights. Navarrete, Valdez, Espinosa, Ramirez on ESPN. Rematches, bangers, Mexicans involved. Arizona, going to be a lit crowd.
God, I wish I was going.
I know, I want to be there so bad.
Dude, Mexico versus Mexico in Arizona, that place is going to be popping. Any of our listeners, if you're in the area, if you're in Vegas, you're in Southern California, you're in Texas, get your butt over there. That's going to be a sick card. There's nothing like Mexican fans in the U.S., man. They are so, so much fun. They make it an event the whole week leading up to it. I know it's not Vegas, but Arizona's cool, man.
So, yeah, I totally agree. Navarrete versus Valdez, rematch of the 2023 fight where Navarrete came out on top. Pretty dominant performance from Navarrete. Yeah. Wasn't really a fire
unexpected.
Fight that we
unexpected. Thought that was going to be a really good fight. It really wasn't.
Not really like the firefight that we thought it was going to be. Like one of the judges had it 11-1, I believe. It could be different this time around for a number of reasons that we'll get into. Navarrete is the 130-pound champ, WBO. His last fight was at lightweight, where he went up to 135 and lost to Berenchik, where that through Top Rank plans. Through a banana peel. I'm talking about Lamont Roach not being a banana peel. Yeah, Baranchik was a big time banana peel. Navarrete, 29 years old, which I was shocked by. Could tell me he's 38, and I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. But I think in this fight, Chris, like, I'm giving Valdez a little better chance here because I just think Navarrete is so inconsistent, such a question mark. Also, coming down in weight after going up in weight when he's been having issues on the scale, all that combined is giving me a little thought of putting some money on Valdez, who is a +400 underdog for decision.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I already put 100 on that.
So the first time they were going to fight, I thought Valdez was going to win. I think you picked Navarrete, right?
I don't remember, but probably.
I think I had Valdez, you had Navarrete. And I thought I thought Valdez was going to put on another like Burchelt type performance where, yeah, he's throwing the swinging bombs, but he sets them up with some, you know, good feints and footwork and lateral movement. Instead of what he did against Navarrete, was just swing bombs right in front of him. That did not work. And he said it himself. He's like, yeah, I had the wrong game plan. I was just obsessed with the one shot and trying to load up. So hopefully, you know, I learned from my mistake. That's great. But at 32, with all the wars he's had at this weight class, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. Being able to pull, knowing what to do and being able to pull the trigger, two different things, you know, especially when you get, you know, up there in age as a fighter, and these smaller weights don't age well. Especially coming off the first time they fought where Navarrete was pretty, pretty dominant. But yes, you bring up some really good points about the weight, about how Navarrete has been looking lately. I mean, when was the last time he looked good? When he fought Valdez. So that was a couple years ago now, because he had the Liam Wilson fight where he got dropped a few times. He had the Baranchek fight, which was a total dud. And before that was Valdez, and he looked great in that fight. But can Navarrete just step it up because it's Mexico versus Mexico and it's pride and balls and nuts and machismo? That's another aspect of this.
Pride, nuts, bolts, everything in Mexicans.
Nuts, guts, and machismo, baby.
That's all. That should be on the fight poster. With Navarrete, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, when he's on, he's unbeatable.
He's a machine.
Throwing these Bugs Bunny. He's looking like, you know, he's throwing these uppercuts from the wrong angle, like stuff you'd never teach, and he's landing because he's just a freak of nature when it comes to...
And from a mile away with his super long arms.
Right, or he looks horrible, or, you know, like in the Baranchik fight, or in the Liam Wilson fight where he was dropped and given 30 seconds to get up, and I don't like him fluctuating in weight. I don't like him going from 135 to 130. He's already talking about going back up to 135 after this fight and becoming a four-division champ, which was supposed to be in the cards. That's why, like, I would say that Navarrete will win this fight. Like, my brain is telling me that, but I could see how Valdez could potentially win this fight. He doesn't have a lot of big performances left. This is his last stand. And we watched the first fight last night, and I've noticed this from Valdez. He did look great against Liam Wilson in his last fight, but in his biggest fights, he just loads up too much. Like, you're not a huge puncher. Like, throw more punches. Like, you can bewilder Navarrete by boxing, by not, like, loading up. He's going to be a counter puncher in this fight, of course. That's what Valdez is. But, like, find some pockets in the fight where you can, you know, be the aggressor and throw more punches and steal some rounds. That's how I see Valdez winning. That's how I see some value here. The plus 400 decision for Valdez, that's huge. That's a big number. Yeah. That's enough to sprinkle
that's a big
on.
Number.
Because of the reasons I just said with Navarrete. Like, all those factors, intangibles, you know, and Valdez, one last stand, maybe... I don't know. It's a very hard
fight.
Dude,
pride's on the line here too for these guys. This is Mexico versus Mexico, just like it was the first time. Which is, and I've talked to Oscar since that fight. Man, he wants this bad. He really wants this, and this could be like his last hurrah type effort at this level. And if there's anything that's gets you jacked up for a fight and gets you motivated, it's this kind of matchup where it's all Mexico.
Yeah, Valdez is 2-2 over his last four. He's lost to Navarrete. He's lost to Shakur. So in his biggest fights of his career, he's come up short. He's got the Liam Wilson win. He's got another win in there as well. 32.
Conceição is one of them, which is arguable.
Well, that was when he was, you know, he tested positive for something and they allowed him to fight. Yeah, that was a big
stimulant
debacle
or something.
Mm-hmm. That was a debacle, 2021. 32, 33 years old in that range. And just wars. Like, remember when he broke his jaw? Like,
oh yeah. Was that a 22 or 26?
I don't remember. I just know that he's been through.
That was with Quigg, Scott Quigg.
Oh man, that was an awesome fight. Just been in there with a lot of tough guys, and 32. It is pretty. Is getting into that area where maybe you're thinking about retirement. I saw what you said on Pro Box, where, you know, he's got a broadcast career ahead of him. Just like you did.
And he's kind of like an elder statesman, the way that he, because I see him around ESPN and Top Rank, because he'll do the international shows, and just the way that he kind of moves around, the way he's
very respectful guy,
but he reminds me of, like, when I see Marco Antonio Barrera or Juan Manuel Marquez, like the way that they hold court almost as if he's already, you know, a foot out the door, you know?
Yeah, good point. And that's what they thought this fight was going to be. That's why, you know, Morales and Barrera yeah. were there.
We did too. We were super excited about the first one. It was kind of a letdown.
Well, I think this one could be better. I think this one could
I do
be,
too. I don't know, I do too.
Catch fire. Like, we think it's going to be, like, be an all-time classic. Would that be great? Yes. Like, I'm really in the mood for, like, a fight of the year contender. Like, I think the sport, like, needs it. And I want to hear, I don't know if Joe Tess is on the call. Probably not, because it's college football season. But I was watching the first fight. He was just going nuts, Joe. He was
selling it, baby.
And Tim. Tim was standing, screaming. So, yeah, my official bet of the weekend, if I'm not betting too much, I have one bet in there, and it's going to be Oscar Valdez by decision at plus 400. I just think that he could box his way. I don't like Navarrete coming up and down in weight. I think Navarrete could be a question mark at times, so inconsistent. Valdez has one last triumphant win there, so I would bang that plus 400 decision on DraftKings right now. Well, with the title picture, I don't know if any of these guys are in the title discussion. I don't know, like, if 130 is a weird division. Like, you got Anthony Cacice, you got Kakache. What the fuck?
Kakache. How do you not? Bro, he's a. it's Kakache.
I got a mental block, bro.
Because I think his nickname is like the Apache Warrior or something like that, or Apache Kakache or something.
Anthony Chachi. And
hey, Chachi.
Shockey Foster, Lamont Roach. Or the titleist. Lamont Roach is fighting at 135. Foster just won his belt back. It's a weird division. Valdez, I don't know how much longer he's gotten this. Navarrete's talking about going to 135. Just enjoy this fight for what it is. Mexican clash could potentially be a banger. Yeah. Who's your pick? Who do you think's going to win?
I think you're smart to go with that plus 400 because that's a crazy number. But I think I'm going to go with Navarrete, man. I don't think he needs to change a whole lot. I think Valdez needs to make the adjustments. But Navarrete is really tough to adjust on because he gives you so much pressure. And if nothing else, even with the weight and whatever, he can show up and just bang. You know, and as you said, Valdez is not the bigger puncher in this. He's not the biggest puncher. He's definitely not the bigger puncher in this fight. And based on just Mexico clash, machismo, and just the way that Vaquero is, I think I'm going to go with Navarrete.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if Navarrete has a dominant performance. That's just who he is. That's why you tune in to watch him fight.
I think it's going to be good, but I think I lean Navarrete just being a little fresher and a better puncher.
To the co-main event, which could be a main event in its own right, I am so looking forward to this fight. It was my in the discussion. It was one of my favorite fights of 2023. Rafael Espinosa versus Robesi Ramirez. This is a rematch of their 2023 December fight. That was a thriller. So both men hit the canvas. Ramirez knocked down Espinosa early on. Espinosa took over control of some of those later rounds, knocked down Ramirez in the final round. It was a highly debated decision that saw Espinosa win. We were wondering if they were going to rematch again. It's a division that has a lot of big names in it. You know, it's a title fight. I'm so excited for this fight. I think it's going to be a banger. I think this is going to be the banger of them. And you can make a case for either guy. Espinosa's so long and rangy and can do a lot of things in there. I think it was a coming out party in that December fight. And Ramirez, I'm watching that fight again last night, was tagging Espinosa. Looked great in there. And then he kind of just fell off towards the end. So, I mean, either way, it's a pick 'em fight on DraftKings. Like, this is what I love, too, is it's pretty much, I think Espinosa is a slight favorite at like minus 105. So this is a straight up pick 'em fight.
Well, that's how I have it. I have Espinosa a slight favorite just because of his size, his reach, and he, like you said, it's kind of his coming out party. Also, he broke his foot in the beginning of that fight against Robesi. You know that, right?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, when he went down, he fractured a bone in his foot, rolling his ankle. So, you know, he fought back with that. So the heart that this guy has is huge. And Robesi, I think the fact that both these guys have solid wins since they fought, they both fought since their rematch, and I think that's really important for the how enticed everyone is by this fight and the fact that the line is the way it is because both guys looked great. Robesi put on a career highlight KO with that uppercut card in Miami. So yeah. I think that, yeah, both guys looking good. I think a lot of momentum for Robesi. He changed things up with his camp. The guy is super talented, of course. I've always been a big fan. But dude, Espinosa is something else. He's like Alfandora, but like not chinny. You know, like he's in there. Yeah, a little more sound, a little more solid. I think a little more better with the physicality. Like he can fight on the inside too. The way he shortens up his punches for a tall guy, very impressive. So just a hell of a fight. But yeah, I think I agree with DraftKings. I lean Espinoza.
No, I got it wrong. Ramirez is the favorite.
Oh,
-125, right. Not big at all.
So I disagree. I'm going against the book.
You're picking Espinoza.
I'm picking Espinoza.
So you could put a parlay together with Valdez decision, Espinoza money line, and that's a pretty nice parlay if you think that can hit. I love the fact that we're getting this rematch. I love the fact that it's a title fight. Love the fact that it's a pick 'em fight. That's awesome. And we're gonna see.
So what's the line? It's plus what?
+105 for Espinoza.
Oh, tight. For Ramirez. You keep saying it backwards.
No, +105 Espinoza.
Oh, originally you said it was.
I had it wrong the first one. I thought Espinoza was the favorite. He's not. They're going with Ramirez.
Okay.
Slight favorite at -125. Because I guess Vegas thought that he won the first fight, Ramirez. And watching it again last night, could have made a case because he was tagging Espinoza. You might not be chinny, but his defense was not that crisp that night. But then he shows that championship medal, Espinoza, and drops.
Dude, those body shots were wicked.
How do you even pick a winner in this fight? It's such a close fight. And just like who you think can – it's just a feeling, right? You're going with Espinoza, you said?
I'm going Espinoza.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked what I saw from Ramirez. I'll go with Ramirez. I liked what I saw from him in that first fight. Loved what I saw from him in his last fight with that.
He looked awesome.
Knockout of Brandon Leon Benitez.
Yeah, I was on the call for ESPN. I remember being like, he's literally done everything you possibly do except knock this guy out, and then he ices him. And I was like, boom. This is the most complete performance you could ever put together.
The announcer curse. Now, this is a division that is got a lot of names. Nick Ball, probably at the top, I guess. Espinoza, Angelo Leo, Figueroa, Luis Alberto Lopez is not going to be in the picture. Coming off a really devastating loss. Ray Vargas, Stephen Fulton, Bruce Carrington, potentially Nyoa Inoue. So, wow.
Did you say Figueroa?
Figueroa in here too. This is a loaded division, and this is a title fight. It's a big fight, and I think it's going to be a banger. Close fight. I like Ramirez. You like Espinoza. I think we're in store for a banger. Last fight we're going to talk about is Liam Paro, 140-pound champion, versus Richardson Hitchens. Well, I don't know why this fight's in Puerto Rico. Like, does anyone know why it's in Puerto Rico? Like, neither guy is Puerto Rican.
Well, I mean, Paro won the title in Puerto Rico against Subra Matias. I don't know. Maybe he created a fan base there. Maybe it was like a package deal that Matchroom had in terms of, you know, venues. But hey, maybe they just wanted to go to Puerto Rico in December.
Looks awesome. I mean, Jack over there.
Just wanted to, hey guys, let's go to Puerto Rico in December, whatever. And these guys don't care. Australia. I mean, Paro has to come from across the world. He's training down here in Florida. So Puerto Rico's not that far. Hitchenson is from New York, probably training in New York, but maybe in Vegas. So still not that far, but I don't think either one of them have a fan base here. So it really doesn't matter.
It's just a question I had in my brain that has zero impact. I was just wondering.
I'm going with Matchroom Brass wanted to be in Puerto Rico in December. That's what I'm going with.
Your boy Keith Connolly was on the beach with sneakers.
Sneakers? I'm surprised he wasn't in dress shoes. I can see him on there with penny loafers in the sand.
He was it was like a, you know, like a picture of the two fighters. He's standing in the middle of them, and he had shoes on the beach, which I mean, that's a no-no where I come from. But we like Keith Connolly. It's our guy. Paro Hitchens, another really close fight. -120 Paro, slight favorite. Hitchens, +100. Hitchens is the boxer. He will jab your face off. Not going to go in there and knock you out. Paro's got knockout power. So this is puncher versus boxer. A lot on the line here. This is a 140-pound title. This is a division that has a lot of names. And potentially you see Devin Haney fight the winner of this fight. You could move up to 147. You can fight someone called 135. How do you see this fight playing out? I'm leaning Paro power. I think he has a little more momentum.
Also, he's a southpaw. So it can negate the jab a little bit of Hitchinson. Parrell's got more experience. You know, he's gone the 12 round route, dug in deep in that Matias fight. We were able to pull that out, outbox Matias. And that's the thing. It's not just puncher versus boxer, because Parrell can box as well. He's got some tricky movement. He's got sneaky power, but they do have a mutual opponent, Yomar Alamo. And Hitchinson dominated and stopped him, and Parrell struggled, was dropped early. Oh, wow. So you could always hang your hat on that Hitchinson if you're doing boxing math, Hitchinson should win this fight. But as we know, boxing math doesn't work.
No, so. Boy math, boxing math, none of that works.
Girl math, whatever. None of it works.
None of it works.
What is boy math? I never heard that.
Some stupid internet term.
I've heard of girl math. I've seen some memes on those.
I don't even have any example for you.
2 + 2 = 4.
What?
2 + 2 = 4.
That's boy math. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
2 + 2 = 6 would be boy math. Dumb. I think Hitchens, very emotional guy, and he's got a lot to prove. I feel like he listens to the criticism. People say he's boring. People don't like his style.
He's a new age guy. He's on the socials. He's a new age fighter.
He is, and I've seen some stuff where he looks a little tight this week. I've heard he looks a little tight. Big fight for him. He talks a big game. This guy, wants to fight Shakur, wants to fight some of the names at 140. Whereas Parrell just seems like a throwback, and this isn't the best way to really handicap a fight, just going off of feelings here. But I like Parrell in this one. I'm gonna go with the power, momentum, and I mean, we could see Parrell versus Haney next year. Not necessarily the fight I want to see, but they were talking about Parrell and Haney it was a rumor for about a week. So
if Parrell does get past Hitchinson, Hitchinson would be a good fight to prep you for Haney. Long jabber.
Yeah, definitely. Hitchinson's going to come in there and jab. He's going to try to jab. He's going to try to move. Can Parrell find him? Is Parrell one hit wonder off that Matias fight, which at the time was a big win, but how we feel about Matias and kind of what we have seen from Matias since then is, how do you rate that win? Like, Parrell's win over Matias, is that aging well? Because I don't think it is.
No, not at all. We've talked at length about the things that Matias is missing, his inadequacies, and they showed up blatantly in that fight. The footwork, not being able to cut off the ring, the lack of defense, being straight up, being able to get hit by anybody who's tricky at all. And who doesn't wilt under the pressure. Liam, put on a boxing class and he didn't have to do much because, it's just the guy's basic. But, he can punch. It's great, but you got to be able to do more than that. So that one did not age well. Montana Love was just so weak. He was just willing. He was just there to get taken over. Brock Jarvis was, I called Brock Jarvis's first fight in the States. He got dropped like 3 times by like a nobody. And I got roar back to get the win. So I'm like, you got to look at all these wins, and there's not a lot to them. And then Hitchinson, you got to look at his last match. You're like, wow, man, he struggled mightily with Gustavo Lemos, and then Lemos just gets blitzed and blown out in 2.5 rounds. Not 2 weeks ago, Jose Zepeda, it was 1,000 years old when he beat him. I thought the John Bauza was a good win, but Bauza's not a world-class guy. Yomar Alamo is probably going to be – it's important because he gave so much trouble to Parrell. So yeah, there's a lot of question marks, I think, with both these guys in terms of, where they are in their careers and at what level they're actually at. So I don't know. This fight could go a lot of ways. I could see Hitchens going out there and put on a great performance using that big, long jab. He's big for the weight class, using his timing and his distance and getting the win. But I could also see Parrell just using his experience, his doggedness. I like how you said he's a throwback guy. He doesn't care who he fights. He doesn't care where it is. He doesn't care who. He doesn't care when. He's just, I'm going to be in shape. I'm going to come and fight. So interesting matchup. Hard one to pick.
Really good fights. Really hard fights to pick this weekend. That's good. A good sign.
That's what we need. That's what boxing needs.
That's what we need. It's very rare to see such even odds in main events, but we have that this weekend. Hope everyone enjoys the fights. These are bangers. Have a double screen
bangers.
Going. Double screen going. Breaking news. Manny Pacquiao, Vinny Pazienza, and Michael Nunn have been inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame.
But isn't Manny Pacquiao fighting? You got to be retired for a bit before they induct you.
They don't care about that.
They don't care. Manny, who cares? It's Manny.
They don't care. The Hall of Fame, they just want Manny Pacquiao to be there and be part of that weekend. So congrats to them.
I think his fist is already in there, right? I think Manny's fist is already there.
Oh, yeah. Vinny Paz.
That's a good one.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
He is. I mean, he will be now.
He is, but Michael Nunn. Okay. Interesting. Pacquiao, 100%. Definitely Hall of Famer. No, without a doubt. Wow, really cool. All right, everyone, enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll be back to break them all down on Monday's episode. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you're sending us to Turkey for a hair transplant.